From KQED News, I'm Kat Snow. With water in short supply this summer, cities and farms across the state are scrambling to cut back. But there's one group of people who don't have to worry at all. They have the oldest rights to water, rights that put them first in line no matter what. And in a drought as bad as this one, some are wondering whether it's time for that to change. As KQED science reporter Lauren Sommer explains.
To get a sense of just how strange California's water rights are, head east of I-5 towards Los Banos in the Central Valley.
This is probably the most catastrophic water year we've ever had.
Last summer, Lon Martin was driving me through the San Luis Water District, which he helps manage. But there wasn't much to see.
Very brown, desolate agriculture.
It was the height of the summer growing season, but the fields were bare, unplanted. Farmers had to lay off workers. Then, all of a sudden, the fields around us were green.
Very productive, lush.
Tomatoes, alfalfa. It's as if we crossed an invisible line, and we did, into a different water district.
There's an obvious dividing line, but they have much more senior rights.
Water rights, he means. The pecking order of who gets water and who doesn't.
California has one of the most complicated water rights systems in the United States, if not the world.
Buzz Thompson is a professor of law at Stanford University. I asked him to explain this water pecking order. He says it all rests on when you claim the water.
Whoever gets to a river first gets the senior right to take water out of that river or stream.
Early in California's history, you could claim water by nailing a piece of paper to a tree. People who got in early have senior rights. Everyone who came after that, their rights are secondary, junior.
So in a period of drought, it means some people, the junior people, don't get any water at all. And the more senior appropriators may get all of the water that they are entitled to.
It's as if to get a cup of coffee at work, you had to line up with your coworkers based on how long you've all worked there. And this applies to cities, too. San Francisco has very old water claims, ahead of latecomers like a water district that serves Silicon Valley.
Although that's our legal system, it doesn't necessarily amount to either a fair system or an efficient system.
This pecking order kicked in last year for only the second time in California's history. And once again this year, state regulators have ordered thousands of junior rights holders not to use water from streams and rivers. Thompson says in a drought, it might make sense for everyone to pitch in and cut back equally. But bring up that idea.
You get a lot of people who rise up in arms.
They're going to fight. It's just going to be not with clubs and pitchforks. It's going to be with attorneys and engineers.
Paul Wenger is the president of the California Farm Bureau Federation. He says water rights are the backbone of the state's multi-billion dollar ag industry. The price of land is based on water rights.
It is part of your property right. I mean, when you go buy an acre of ground, it's going to be reflective of how solid are your water rights, how senior are your water rights.
This idea of changing the water rights system is so out there that when I caught up with California Secretary for Natural Resources John Laird at a public meeting, here's how he described it.
I consider that to be thermonuclear in California because we've had the water rights system for over 100 years. It's determined. Everybody lives by it. It's 38 million. People.
It seems clear. California isn't changing this system anytime soon. So where does that leave us, with droughts inevitable and climate change only expected to make things worse? Well, there are actually two things the state could do, and the first starts with an old-fashioned bank safe. Matthew Jay is dialing in the combination in a back room of the Division of Water Rights in Sacramento. Inside, the safe is filled with thousands of pieces of yellowing paper.
The further back you go in time, the more brittle they get. And
this is it. Like, this is all the water rights of the whole
all
state.
All the water rights of the entire state.
Actually, only to a point. The oldest one,
signed August 6, 1915,
isn't actually the oldest. Water claims go all the way back to the gold rush, but it wasn't until 100 years ago that California started keeping track.
People would think you'd have it all massively nailed down.
It's not, says Felicia Marcus, chair of the State Water Resources Control Board, the agency that oversees water rights. According to a study from UC Davis this year, on paper, the state has handed out rights for five times more water than there is in an average year. A few other Western states have actually gone through and verified all their water rights.
They haven't changed the rights, but they've spelled it out more, so there's less uncertainty.
That process took 30 years in Idaho, 50 years in Montana. It would make the water rights system more accurate, but wouldn't fundamentally change it. That made me wonder, could you change it?
What we are looking for is Article 10.
Buzz Thompson of Stanford Law says that's the provision added to California's Constitution.
Specifically to avoid the problem of people wasting water when other people needed it.
It says
the waste or unreasonable use or unreasonable method of use of water is prohibited.
This is very powerful language, Thompson says. Regulators could say during a drought, certain water uses are unreasonable and can't be done, like growing crops that use a lot of water or overwatering our yards.
If we have a really very severe drought that, say, lasted another 5 years, I would be surprised if the State Water Resources Control Board and the governor did not seriously think about adopting a new way of allocating water.
Politically, it would be a bombshell, but not out of the question. In April, Governor Brown said if the drought drags on, California's historic water rights system could be up for examination. I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED News.
Support of KQED Science is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, Hope Lab, and the George G. and Jeanette A. Stewart Charitable Trust.